I want to say good afternoon to all and welcome you to the Holland Heights Church of Christ Conference Call Worship Service. We worship God according to Acts 2:42 and Acts 2:47. If you're on the call this afternoon and you're not added to the Lord's Church, I will give an example from the Scriptures of how to become a member of the Lord's Church at the close of this lesson. You're not a Christian until you have obeyed the example we'll find in the Scriptures that God has allowed us to read from the Word of God, of one who obeyed the Lord and became a Christian. This afternoon, message is a follow-up from this morning's sermon entitled, Godliness is Profitable Unto All Things. And that was 1 Timothy chapter 4, and the verse is number 8. So what we want to do tonight, this afternoon, is look at a message entitled, from the verse that was read in your ears, surely the fear of God is not in this place. And so the fear of God is actually godliness. Yeah, that's what it meant. But was said that Abraham said, surely the fear of God is not in this place. So we want to look again at the definition we gave this morning of godliness, and then we want to look at a case that we can study from the Bible that displays godliness in this individual. The definition we gave this morning of godliness is the submissive honor and loyalty that is shown to God, meaning I submit my respect and my loyalty or faithfulness to God. And it is the desire to please Him is the motive for our action. So I submit myself to God. I also want to show loyalty to God. And I also have a desire to please God in my actions. So we looking at Genesis chapter 20, and the verse is number 1, where we'll begin reading. And our subject title on this afternoon, as was previously stated, surely the fear of God is not in this place. So I want to go on record as saying godliness is a characteristic that one sometimes has to grow to and develop. You won't start off that way, but again, it's something that I can grow to. So let's look at the text on this afternoon. The Bible reads in Genesis chapter 20, and Abraham journeyed from thence toward the south country and dwelt between Kadesh and Shur and sojourned in Gerar. And Abraham said unto Sarah, his wife, she is my sister. Or Abraham, said of Sarah, his wife, she is my sister. And Abimelech, the king of Gerar, he sent and he took Sarah. So Abimelech, having heard that obviously Sarah was an attractive woman, and so for that reason, Abraham said to Sarah, I want you, as we go through these areas, let people know that you are my sister, not my wife. Because if they knew I was married to you, they'll probably kill me. And so he said that to Abimelech. She's my sister. So Abimelech said, oh, she's your sister, attractive she is. I have her as my wife. Then the Bible tells us in verse number 3, but God came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said to him, behold, thou art but a dead man, for the woman which thou hast taken, for she is a man's wife. You know, we talked this morning from Hebrews 13:3 about marriage and what marriage is, and how Hebrews 13:4 says marriage is honorable and all, and the bed is undefiled. And we define that as saying what the Lord was saying through the Hebrew writer is, let marriage be held in honor among all, meaning you have to respect God. And so, again, we're talking about honoring God. So the first sign with Abimelech, does he honor God? Does he show loyalty to God? Because God told him, you are but a dead man. Don't you know you have another man's wife? But Abimelech, verse 4, had not come near her. And he said, Lord, wilt thou slay also a righteous nation? Now, what we want to realize about this text is, look in 1 Samuel chapter number 16 and verse number 6. 1 Samuel chapter number 16, because we want to establish something from the Word of God from 1 Samuel chapter, number 16 and verse number 6. The Bible says, and it came to pass when they were come that Samuel, in verse number 4, 1 Samuel 16 and 4, Samuel looked on Eliab and said, surely the Lord's anointed is before me. In other words, he looked at Eliab, and Samuel sized him up and said, surely you are God's anointed. But now, notice what God says in verse number 7 as it relates to Abimelech when we go back to Genesis chapter 20. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature. He said, because I have refused him. What God was saying to Samuel, don't judge a book by its cover. Don't just look at something and automatically assume that something is something, because Abraham is going to make that same mistake when we get to the close of our text on this morning. Note what the Lord says. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. See, we need to realize, go back to Genesis chapter 20, that God doesn't look at man the way we look at man. God looks at the heart of an individual. God knows already what individuals have godliness in their character. God knows already who is wicked in their heart. God knows already those that may be mean in their spirit. God knows those that will hurt or harm someone. God already knows And that's why in verse number 3, God knew the heart of Abimelech. He knew Abimelech possessed godliness. That's why the Bible says, but God came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said to him, Abimelech, you're going to be a dead man. And you know why? You got another man's wife. Abimelech said, Lord, time out. Will you slay a man that's righteous? That was his question. Yeah. Now, I know you see me with this woman, but my question, Lord, will you kill a person that is righteous? And then he explained his case to the Lord. But now remember, the Lord had already looked on his heart. That's the reason that God went to him before he did anything to and with Sarah. God knew that Abimelech's desire was to please him in his actions, and his motives was pure. So verse 5, he says, said he not unto me, he being Abraham, she is my sister. And she, talking about Sarah, even she herself said, he is my brother. Lord, both of them done lied to me. And then Abimelech said, in the integrity of my heart. Notice the Lord looked at his heart. And the word integrity in the text means someone who has moral values and also honesty. Yeah. Not only will I honor God, but I'm also honest. He said, in the integrity of my heart and the innocency of my hands. And innocent means no wrongful act. Have I done this? In other words, Lord, if I had known that she was his wife, I would have never touched her. My hands are innocent. I would not have done that. And God said unto him in a dream, yea, I know that thou didst this in the integrity of thy heart. For I also withheld thee from sinning against me. Therefore, suffered I thee not to touch her. Wouldn't it be wonderful, not wonderful, wonderful, if God would look in the hearts of us, knowing the integrity of our hearts, and God is able to withheld us from sinning against him. See, we studied this morning that God, we have to understand that as a Christian in Romans chapter 7, let me just share this with you. Romans chapter 7. See, as a Christian, we have to understand. When it comes to godliness, Paul, in his letter in Romans chapter 7 and verse number 23, Romans 7, verse 23, Paul wrote, "But I see another law in my members, and is warring against the law of my mind, and is bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members." What we have to realize as Christians, all of us have another law in our members that wars against the law of our mind. We can put the word of God in our heart, but also understand there's another law in each of us, and it's called the law of sin, and it works through my members. When I steal something, my hands are the members that steal, but the stealing thought has to come from my mind, and that can sometimes come from the devil. The devil influences my behavior. That's why I need to store myself up with the word of God, that I exhibit godliness, that I can withhold myself from sinning against God. Verse 7. "Now therefore," God told him, "restore the man his wife, for he is a prophet, and he shall pray for thee, and thou shalt live. And if thou restore not her, know thou that thou shalt surely die, thou and all that are thine." So the Lord told him, you got two choices. You got two choices. Now, you can listen to the law of sin. Now, because you know now that this woman is another man's wife. So now if you do something with her, now that's sin. You can listen to that, or you can listen to the law of God, which you already have in you, Abimelech, because you already said, "Lord, I've done this because my heart has integrity. My hands are innocent." Excuse me. Now watch the definition of godliness. Remember now, godliness is a desire to do what God wanted, to please God. The Bible said, "Therefore Abimelech rose up early in the morning. He called all his servants and told all these things in their ears. And the men were so afraid. Then Abimelech called Abraham and said unto him, 'What hast thou done unto us? And what have I offended thee that thou hast brought on me and on my kingdom a great sin? Thou hast done deeds unto me that ought not to be done.'" Abraham said, "Look," Abimelech said, "Look at Abraham. Man, tell me, what is it that I did to you? What wrong I did to you? Because, man, you done set me up. Not only am I going down, but guess what? My whole family finna go down." So I want to say to all the brothers out there that are leading your family, sometimes when you don't do right, it affects everybody in the house. Yeah, when you wrong, it affects your wife and your children when you're wrong. Sometimes. And Abimelech said unto him, "Abraham, what sawest thou that thou hast done this thing?" He said, "Man, why did you do this to me?" Watch this. We have to understand, as a Christian, go back to Romans chapter 12, and I'm closing. Romans chapter 12. as a Christian, even though somebody do wrong to you, which Abraham definitely did this man wrong, almost caused him to lose his family. But the Lord tells us through Paul in his letter to the Romans, in Romans 12 and verse number 19. Paul wrote, "Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, said the Lord." Now, the word vengeance means showing a desire to harm someone. The Lord said, no, don't do that. God say, allow me, because God's judgment is always righteous. See, Abimelech, if you had gotten Abraham back, you may have went too far. No, let the Lord deal with him. And then in verse number 11, a closing verse, when he asked Abraham, "What did you see in me that you did this to me?" And Abraham said, "Because I thought, surely the fear of God is not in this place, and they will slay me for my wife's sake." What Abraham did not realize about Abimelech had godliness. That's the fear or the reverence or respect for God. Abimelech had it. Abraham didn't think that. That's why he said, "Because I thought." So again, as we close, when I read Genesis 21 through 11, I see Abimelech as that individual that displays godliness. He honored God. He was loyal to God. He had a desire to please God in what he did. If you're on the call today and you're not a Christian and you want to please God, you do that first by obeying God. Turn your Bibles to Acts chapter number 8. We'll look at the example this afternoon. The message is yours. Regarding a man that had a desire to please God. In Acts chapter 8 and verse number 30. You have here a teacher and a student. Philip being the teacher and the eunuch being the student. In verse number 30, the Bible says, in Acts 8:30, "And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said," he being the eunuch, from verse number 27 of Acts 8, "how can I, except some man should guide me?" And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. So Philip did what he asked. He wanted someone, the word God means to show me the way. So in verse number 35, the Bible says, "Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus." And what he told him about Jesus, about the fact that Jesus died for his sin, that's 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. He also told him that Jesus Christ was buried in a tomb. And thirdly, not only did he die on that cross, he suffered on the cross with nails in his hands and nails on his feet for your sin. Not only that, when he died, they took him down, they buried him in a tomb. Then he rose again the third day, never to die again. And then the Bible says in verse 36, "And as they went on their way, they came into a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doeth him to me to be baptized?" So evidently, when Philip talked to him, that's called a necessary inference, where we can infer something from the text. we can infer that when he talked to him about Jesus, he had to talk to him about baptism, because the eunuch was the one to say, wait a minute, you talked to me about Jesus, but you also told me I had to be water baptized. Here's some water. What stopped me from being baptized? And Philip said in verse 37, if thou believest with all thy heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You taught me that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and he said, I believe it. And then verse 38, the Bible says, he commanded the chariot to stand still. They both got down out of the chariot, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. So we find from the text that one must hear the gospel, one must believe it. What you don't see in this text is repentance shown. But he made the confession that I believe that Jesus Christ, Son of God, then he was water baptized for the forgiveness of all his past sins. And the Bible says in verse 39, and when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more. He went on his way rejoicing. Why he rejoiced? Because he was a member now, according to Acts 2:47, he was added to the Lord's church, so he rejoiced in the fact that he was a Christian. If you're on the call today, someone invited you, you want to become a Christian, have them reach out to myself, and we'll make it happen. If you want to, you understand, you want to obey the Lord, you have that opportunity. As I turn our lesson, I'm going to finish my lesson, I'm turning over to our song leader that will give us our invitation song. Brother Foreman, if you would.
Careless soul, why will you linger, wandering from the fold of God? Hear you not the invitation? Oh, prepare to meet thy God. Careless soul, oh, heed thy warning, for your life will soon be gone. Oh, how sad to face the judgment, unprepared to meet thy God.